Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I'm Chris and do not adjust your sets. They've put me in charge. I have no idea why. Helping me out on this sure to be going wrong day is Ian.
Hello.
And we've also got Henry, who is out of his toilet today.
I am out of the toilet. I have been put back. What I've done is I've switched on the microphone. That makes such a huge difference. So, hello everyone.
You found the on switch.
Yeah, I found the on switch on the microphone.
Well, well done for that. You sound super slick.
I must say, you're sounding quite sexy, actually.
That's really worrying, Ian. That's really worrying.
I know worrying. I said that to you privately earlier on, but I'm sure you didn't expect me to publicly.
No, it's even more worrying publicly. But anyway, there we go.
So we've got Henry out the toilet.
You got me out the toilet.
Yeah, but we're still missing Shaq, unfortunately. He's still not feeling particularly well.
Which is, he's a bit of a wuss, as I said last week. I mean, he's sounding not that bad. I think he's just been a bit lazy. What's another weekend off?
Yeah, maybe I'll go for that route next week.
Well, no, because next week will be our Windows special, surely.
Oh, well, yeah, I can't miss that. And in fact, obviously, I'm building up to that already. In fact, everyone seems to be building up to that already and getting quite excited. Due for release next week.
Woohoo!
And we've been having some reports and reviews, and obviously everyone in the tech community is chatting about it. And Ian, you've got a story for me.
There was a performance showdown on the CNET website this week, which I thought was quite interesting. Because it was so biased. They came to some conclusions. What they were doing was they took a MacBook Pro and they booted up with Windows 7 and they booted up with Snow Leopard and they ran some comparison tests. And the comparison tests, I just thought, were shockingly swayed in favour of Apple. First of all, you're running Apple hardware, so the operating system Snow Leopard is obviously going to be more tailored to that hardware. Which is one of the benefits of we've talked about it loads of times, you know, small amount of hardware platforms to hit, they can optimize their operating system far more than probably Windows can. So there was things like you'll get much better battery life running OS X on Mac laptops than running Windows. Duh. Performance-wise, Windows 7 is probably a better choice if you're a gamer. Duh. Even on Mac hardware. One of the tests that released today was they did some media tests, but they used iTunes and QuickTime.
I know.
Bizarre, isn't it? Really bizarre.
You know, it's like, you know, it wasn't even like a thinly veiled, you know, biased
surprise,
review.
Surprise, iTunes worked and QuickTime worked better again on the Mac.
Duh.
Amazing that.
And then they came out with if you can get by with just software designed by Apple and if money is not a big issue, you will be happy with a Mac. Duh. Mm-hmm. So it just, I don't know, the whole thing just smacked off, almost like a little attack piece, you know, it was almost like a little bit of bait.
I really like generally reading through the CNET stuff. I find it quite informative, but this one, I mean, you didn't put your name down when you put your story in the show notes, and that's why I've put the incredulous question mark who put this in, because I didn't know what angle you were going to take, but you've taken the
it's just back to probably the statistics we mentioned a few weeks ago. You can look at these things and look at a little chart, and that chart will probably get published by a whole lot of fanboy sites all around the web saying, look at that, Windows 7, what all the crap. And it's biased.
Well, I mean, there's some elements which are, you know, fairly interesting. But yeah, like it's not even Windows running on its own hardware. It's sat on top of a few layers, so who knows what kind of effect. It's not comparing like with like. And I came down to the kind of point of view of, oh, who cares about a couple of seconds on boot up and shut down? I know it, you know, when you're mobile and stuff, it does become quite important, but it's just, it seems to be a whole lot of stuff being put towards the second here and the second there.
Yeah, do you know, I think that if this had been the other way around, if this had been about Snow Leopard, there'd have been a huge amount on the blogosphere about how it had been sponsored by, you know, whoever. So, you know, there's not a huge amount saying that this has been sponsored by Apple, this reporting, but it really could be. It could be just, you know, Apple getting their PR machine in gear and some engineer in the background doing some dodgy report for CNET. But that doesn't fit things.
I'd like to see the test reversed, and let's see how quick Snow Leopard runs on a PC. Oh, it can't run. Okay, so
you've been storing it up all week, haven't you?
I've got some in a rage this week. Yeah. So, in order to make their launcher more of a success, Microsoft have also going to employ in Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy to try and advertise their new operating system by basically, I don't know the full details, but I guess they've commissioned a half-hour show of with Seth MacFarlane and all his crew. There's no ads in the show, but effectively it's going to be Family Guy related to try and sell their Windows 7. Now, I don't know.
Computers for idiots, though, isn't it? That would really work with Family Guy. You know?
I'm just really worried about this tie-in. I mean, they've already screwed up big time with their, you know, launch parties adverts. Or have they? I don't know.
Are you not having one, Chris? I thought you were having a launch party. I thought you'd ordered the balloons and everything.
I'm blowing the balloons up as we speak. But yeah, this seems a really weird fit. I mean, Family Guy, famous for, you know, screwing around with people and, you know, slagging people off. Can they really launch a product? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. Microsoft just doesn't get advertising for me. Over the last couple of years, I've had so many botched attempts at trying to, you know, almost hit back at the Apple ads. It's just never worked.
It's funny how more people are concerned about how Family Guy's faring from this, not how Microsoft's going to fare.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, another thing that they're going to launch next week is their first retail store as well in America. So it'll be interesting to see how that compares.
Yes. So Microsoft obviously again looking to stay in the good headlines, but they keep just managing to sort of kick themselves in the nuts a bit. But we reported last week that Sidekick users, so T-Mobile Sidekick phone users, Microsoft had pretty much lost their data. And they reported that data was gone for good. Users weren't going to see it again. But through the week, it sort of turned out they have found a way of recovering their data, and hopefully everyone's data will be returned without loss.
Well done.
The engineer that borrowed the external hard drive for his home has brought it back. I think that's what's happened.
They've run find file utilities on it.
It always struck me as a strange story last week. You know, just how they'd put it out and almost immediately saying, we can't find it, you know, won't be able to get your data back, and then putting in the refunds and here's a 3 month's usage. And now to turn around and say, well, we've got most of it back. It's just very odd.
Yeah, and they're pretty confident they're going to get the whole lot back. So if you're still affected as a Sidekick user, you can get in touch with them and they'll deal with you on a case-by-case basis.
It kind of makes me think one guy knew how to get it back and he was on holiday. And now that he's turned up on Monday, it's like... Guys, the backup's over here. What are you talking about?
Jim's not in today. Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
But it really hammers the reputation of that service, though, doesn't it? I mean, would you want to sign up to something like that now?
Oh, no.
So I definitely wouldn't.
No, definitely not.
Okay. So another couple of tech-related stories, I think we'll call these. They're not sort of technology-based themselves, but through the week we've seen the power of Twitter and how that's actually changing the way we use the internet and also communicate. Ian.
Yes. So, two separate stories, but very closely linked. I think it was Tuesday, The Guardian were gagged. So there was a legal firm called Carter Ruck had gagged The Guardian from reporting on a parliamentary question, which in itself was quite bizarre, because you could go to the Parliament website and see the questions for that day, and, you know, with a bit of looking around the blogs, you could work out what was going on. The interesting thing for me isn't so much that whole, I mean, there's a whole really interesting story around all that, you know, legal blocking and how it's evolved over the week and how it's been reported by other media services. That's not for us. The big thing for me was Twitter and how quickly the story spread, how, you know, just via people retweeting other people, you could quickly start to see it escalating and how they were getting other news sites to try and pick up on it.
I mean, Trafficura was trending really quite quickly, wasn't it?
There was Trafficura, there was Carter Ruck. And I don't know if Guardian itself was training, but I know those two were.
Yeah, I think Guardian was, you're right.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, it was in the space of, it's just one of these really quickly moving news stories in the space of 5-6 hours. It went from, we're being gagged, let's spread this around, to they're not even, you know, they're not even going to be, even have to go to court to lift this. They've lifted it themselves.
Yeah, and the story wasn't even, you know, it wasn't about the story that's being blocked, although that might come out as being something that we'll hear about more. But the story was how, you know, gagging parliamentary discussion, which is should be open and free for all.
Definitely.
So it's, I have every confidence that most of the people that tweeted about it don't really give a poo about what the story was.
But it just highlights that it's the power of, I guess, a really socially aware band of people on Twitter, and what the, I mean, there is an influence there.
Yeah, there is. But there's also the foolishness of the of solicitors, isn't it, that think they can ban these things now and not stop them
isn't it? Organisations are going to have to change their, you know, direction towards these kind of things. Definitely. Where they want to hold up information.
If you go back 10, 15 years, you could put a ban on every newspaper. Nobody would hear about the ban, and there'd be nowhere for anybody to find out about it. I mean, if you look at Twitter on Tuesday, or I can't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday, but they actually, the actual report that they hadn't even been talking about, this was only a question about the report, but the report itself, which were, I think the ban was lifted this morning on the, of actually details in the report, it was up in WikiLeaks, and the link was all spread through Twitter as well. There is no way you can put gags on people now.
Maybe what we'll have to start doing is putting gags on actually reporting that there's been a gag, because it was the reporting of there being a gag which actually escalated everything.
Yep.
So you'll have to gag people from saying they've been gagged.
But there's no way they can stop. You know, so that, yes, they can target a Guardian or an Independent or the Times or the Daily Mail. They can, you know, these can be more easily targeted. But how
I wish they would gag the Daily Mail.
Yeah, but how do you stop, like, me, you, you know, blogging
there,
about
there's,
it?
There's even, there are, there's new regulations, aren't there, that bloggers are supposed to be a bit more open about, you know, certainly if they're being funded, but also being responsible for their own, being responsible for their own content, and I guess in the same kind of journalistic way, but how do you ever control that? And I don't think you ever will be able to control that.
So, I mean, the Guardian story was all about, I guess, the established authority trying to gag information and try to silence it. But then we had the opposite yesterday, which was again all around Twitter, and it was good old Daily Mail. So nothing like a bit of Tory bashing to get us through the podcast. So, and I'm going to pronounce her name, and it's probably not right. Jan Moir, is it Moir?
Moyer?
Moyer?
I would
Jan
call her
the fuckface.
I'm just going to call it Jan. So I had to stop myself there. I was really tempted to continue that one on and call her something really nasty.
I may have accidentally done that.
Chris did, yeah.
So Jan puts her usual kind of article out, and this time it was all about Stephen Gately and linking his death to unnatural causes and then linking that to gay marriage. And the story isn't, I don't even want to really go into too much more of the story, because it's just not worth merit. It was a whole right-wing anti-gay marriage slagging off people. Twitter outrage, which is quite right. But very quickly, guys like Stephen Fry, Charlie Brooker started spreading around, this story's awful. And fair enough, there was a lot of people then started saying, well, here's her address and here's how we hunt her down. And they were like, no, don't do that. Here's the Press Complaints Commission. Here's all the different breaches that that article does. And here's how to complain.
Yeah, the Press Complaints Commission have come out and said that because the complainers are third parties to the story, they're actually going to need someone, you know, directly involved to make that complaint, but for anything to come of it.
But this is really interesting bit of it. So the on Tuesday it was all about, you know, we need more freedom of speech. A whole load of right wingers then yesterday came out and says, hold on, this is all about freedom of speech, and this is all these, you know, mad lefties trying to shut down Daily Mail and
we're a fickle lot, aren't we?
Yeah, well, and that was the thing. But the Daily Mail's come out as well and says this is nothing more than, you know, internet hype and a campaign by a few people spreading the internet. And then I think back to Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand and the whole thing over Sachs. Where was the freedom of speech there?
Yep.
You know, and it was only once the Daily Mail and Express picked up and said, isn't this outrageous that they got all the comments from it? So, But both stories, the interesting thing is definitely it's the power of Twitter, the power of, you know, a few people on there.
Yeah, pre-Twitter, blogs definitely didn't have this kind of power anyway.
No.
But being able to tweet and move information around
it
that quickly.
It just moves so quickly.
It happens in real time, doesn't it? That's the thing. The blogs, there was definitely a lead time before things kind of got picked up.
Exactly, because it was the, you know, you waited for Google Reader to pick it up, which was maybe a few hours. And then for other people to then comment on that was a few hours again. And it just took there was no momentum. Whereas now with Twitter, it just flies. If something really gets people hot and bothered, it's, you know, in the trending topics, as soon as things appear in there, and fair enough, there's a lot of spam in there as well. But they get real momentum. So yeah, two interesting stories.
And from one person that we despise to another that we're going to have to start despising, and that's Sir Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the World Wide Web. He has come out. Well, there was an interview with him basically, and he was asked, "What's the one thing you'd change about the web if you had your time again? What would you design differently?" And he came up with announced that the two slashes after the HTTP colon are completely unnecessary. So all this time we've been typing those, our fingers wearing out, and they were just not necessary at all.
What a bastard.
What a bastard.
And all I can say is, I think we should start a campaign. I think his knighthood should be taken off him for making me type /. Not only that,
and refunded.
What about all the times?
His knighthood should be slashed.
What about, what about all the times I take the slashes the wrong way around?
I know. The printer ink. Paper-based
Unix
shooter.
Windows, where am I?
Ah. He's singularly responsible for the climate mess we're in.
Ah, disaster.
Okay, and let's move on. Let's move into the music arena again, which seems to be every week there's something going on, and Spotify have again basically updated their software so that now within the actual application itself you can buy DRM-free MP3 versions of any song you're listening to. So before you had to visit the, I think it was 7digital website.
Yeah.
Now you can actually just like iTunes, click on a buy and it will store your information. So going forward, it's as easy as it is in iTunes.
About time too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost like having iTunes, but with a full song or album preview, isn't it? It's where iTunes are struggling with their kind of 10 seconds of each album before you have to buy it. You can listen to the whole album, but just make your mind up.
Yeah.
Well, of course, iTunes as well. They're about to get hammered for. I mean, the performing rights people are wanting to get royalties from iTunes for even those 10-second clips that you listen to,
which is just
ridiculous.
That's crazy music industry. You know, get a life. Crazy.
That's old music industry, whereas we are seeing some bits of new music industry emerging, aren't we?
Well, the nice thing about Spotify is it started off with the. Here's how you listen to music free. And then people were saying, well, how are you going to monetize? And you can just see over the last year how they've built this mass market product, built a lot of press around it, and now they're bringing in the, oh, you want to buy? There you go.
They are, absolutely, and great. And
very impressive.
Yep. And we can buy music elsewhere now as well, or we will soon be able to.
Sky Songs, which launches on the 19th of October. It's a monthly subscription. So you can either, and there's only two levels to this, it's either $6.49 or $7.99, so not much difference between them. For $6.49, you can download one £6.49 album or 10 individual songs. And also during that month, you can stream as much music as you like. For $7.99, it's a $7.99 album or 15 songs. All the music labels are on board. And I think at the moment it's PC only. But again, it's interesting that the Sky's doing this. Virgin, I think it was Virgin Unlimited that they announced right at this turn of the year.
So it's kind of organisations you wouldn't necessarily expect to be in this market. And maybe Virgin's a bit more so. But.
Yeah, but they're interesting. I think the Virgin Unlimited one, I think they're struggling to get all the music labels on.
Right.
So I think there were still some issues there.
Yeah, struggling with that for almost a whole year now, Virgin Media, trying to get things sorted out for that.
And I think they're still going to call it Virgin Unlimited, but there's limits on it. So maybe not the best choice of names.
But basically, this is another model, which is you buy an album, and as part of the process of buying that album, you also get to listen to stream music.
Similar to the Napster one we talked about last week. So for a fiver, you can get your, five downloads, but unlimited streaming.
Yep.
So You know, there's lots of competition there. And there's all, there must, with all these guys competing, it shows where it's going.
Mm. It does.
Definitely. Okay, sticking with sort of the, well, video stroke music arena. That was a slick link, did you notice that?
That was the slickest so far. I'm actually you're up to 3 in the soul count as well.
Am I? Well, last week
you've had
7.
A couple. You've had a couple yourself, Ian.
I know, but I don't count.
They balance off against it.
Yeah.
I almost said it again. It's so tempting, isn't it? Ah, never mind.
So
yeah, yes. We noticed. Yeah.
4OD going to be putting their content on YouTube very shortly. Starting well in the near future and sort of completing in 2010, they'll have their whole catch up service on YouTube in high quality version. So they're already got their own service that you can go from the Channel 4 website, but they are going to put it all across to YouTube in a move that say well that any revenue made from advertising on that page will be split between Channel 4 and YouTube. Or Google, more specifically.
And I thought it was an excellent move.
Yeah, sounds good all round. It sounded like 4OD obviously getting a lot of transfer and bandwidth usage, which I guess they're now offloading onto YouTube.
Mm.
And at the same time, they've got a bigger audience on YouTube and therefore they can make more money from the advertising.
And it's a potential revenue, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, from channels that are really struggling at the moment, maybe this is another way things are headed.
Well, you know, I think it's very similar to the way portals kind of went in about 10, 15 years ago. Everybody wanted to have a portal, and then you find actually that things kind of, you know, just consolidate. You only got a couple of things with Yahoo or Google and things. You kind of see this, that kind of thing, same kind of thing going. Everyone trying to get their catch-up TV service going and then realizing that actually it's much easier if you can use just somebody else's stuff like YouTube. I think there'll be more consolidation in the market to come.
And so many people, you know of YouTube rather than having to go to each of the individual channel websites.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just being able to search straight away for the program you want and for it to appear and, okay, have advertising on the page and perhaps overlaid or even adverts within the show itself. But that's the kind of price you pay for some content nowadays.
Yeah, and even the fact that, you know, I can go to YouTube and all my favourites are there. And if I've got one place where I'm holding all my video favourites, it just becomes much more useful.
Much easier.
Yeah.
So it's deals like that that are making Google a lot of money at the moment. And
slick. Slick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the last quarter, they've made $1.6 billion profit.
Kerching.
From a total revenue. So they're dealing in $6 billion worth of revenue. And that's actually up on last year, so by 7%. So, again, signs that the economy is actually, certainly the net economy is doing quite well.
Yeah, credit crunch. What credit crunch for Google? Unbelievable.
Absolutely. And it's a phenomenal amount of money.
And all made in sort of dollar increments. A lot of their money comes from their, you know, their word, what they're called? Crikey. I can't even remember. Anyway, the selling of advertising. AdWords, that's it. Yeah, so a dollar an AdWord or whatever. It's amazing how you can make that much money out of it.
But their whole concept of getting all their products out for all or most of their products for free, it really gives them a real mindshare advantage. You know, we're all using Google every day now.
That's right.
Oh yeah,
it's just unavoidable. And yet, and it's not even unavoidable. It's not, you know, it's through choice as well. I mean, if you look at a lot of what they do, it is as good or if not better than competition out there.
Yep, some things they absolutely nail. I mean, there's still areas that I think they're weak in, but I think it's one of those companies where they've almost got the Midas touch, but
yeah,
they're still to realise everything yet.
I still think some of their UI lets them down sometimes.
Mm, yeah, Android. And although Android's coming on stronger now, it's still not been as quick to the, you know, it's not been as strong in the marketplace as they thought it was going
to
be.
And it seemed to take ages to pull together things like I've got mail and calendar and I've got Google Docs and all these other things, and I just want one place I can get to all that.
Google Wave.
Google Wave or Google Chrome.
Or Google Chrome definitely.
OS. Yeah. No, so it'll be interesting to see how that all pulls together over the next few months.
Yep. Okay, and moving on to all our favourite topic.
Way!
Yay!
I even know right now, even though Shaiku's not well, he's secretly going, way.
Let's have a look at what Apple's been doing this week.
Go on, start your bashing.
Yeah, well, we have to start with the big news that Snow Leopard has been deleting some people's home directories and all the data in it at all, which is an absolutely astonishing story. And however much you hate Microsoft, even Vista doesn't delete all your data when you turn your back on it. I think with a bit of digging, it's a really small number of people that have been affected. Stuff to do with the guest accounts and there's still obviously a lot of confusion as to how exactly it happens. But the fact is that Apple have made a hugely unusual step of actually commenting on the story and made an acknowledgement to CNET that some users definitely were having a problem. So it's a really nasty one. And
I know you say it doesn't affect that many users, but it's almost like, you know, risk assessment. What's the chances of this happening? But what's the outcome if it does happen? And it's pretty devastating if you lose all of your data.
It definitely is, but I mean, to be fair to the, we've slagged off the Apple blogs before for being quite fanboyish, but all of them reported this and all of them said it is an issue.
Everyone's a bit aghast, aren't they?
Yeah, but it is.
Shocked. It's really shocking.
I do think you need some perspective on how many people it affect. And I think it's, when I stopped researching it once we'd kind of got the story in the notes. As far as I could see, it was if you had a guest account enabled in Leopard and then upgraded to Snow Leopard and then used the upgraded guest account in Snow Leopard, when you logged out the guest account, instead of it wiping the guest account, which is how it should work, the guest account allows you to log in, do whatever you want to do, and when you log out, it wipes whatever you've done. It also wiped your main account, which is just horrible. We've prattled on about backups, but nothing would be more horrifying than going back to your login screen and thinking I've no user.
I think actually what may have happened is that it's to do with the user IDs and that the data is actually still there on your system. It's just you've logged into and Snow Leopard's kind of created a whole new kind of account, so
yeah,
you can't see any of your data, so it looks it's actually a kind of a new account that's been created with the old username, so the stuff is maybe still there on your machine. It's just but you can't get access to it.
Obviously the disk content's going to have lost its indexing, I guess, and therefore if you do anything on your account, you risk overwriting.
Of course you do.
This sounds a bit like, we don't know the exact details, but certainly the stories I were hearing is, you do risk losing everything. It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
But then it'll be all right if you've backed up, surely, with Time Capsule.
Yeah, people were saying they could restore stuff from Time Capsule and stuff. That was fine. But
If it's working.
So that's a nice segue into the Time Capsule Memorial website. So if you go to timecapsuledead.org, you'll see that let me just visit as I talk, that when I threw in this story through the week, it was a couple of hundred people had registered, and it's now up at 359 people have registered. And what it's basically highlighting is that the average lifespan of the people registering, which is fair enough going to be the people that have had issues, is 17 months and 6 days, which is atrocious.
So Time Capsule's a backup system, is that right?
Yes. So when Leopard came out, they made a big hoo-ha about a thing called Time Machine. You enable Time Machine and it takes care of all your backups. So it throws all the files onto another disk. So if you've got an external drive, you can use an external drive for backing up via Time Machine. And the nice thing about Time Machine was it wasn't just a straight disk backup. You could actually go in and see different versions of files. So you could go and see your folder. Just say you've got an archive folder with all your documents, and you could go and see the folder as it was back in March or in February or different versions of files. I've never been a big fan of that. I want to back up what I've got on my disk. I don't want to back up loads of different versions of different files. That's not what I need. But they then came out with Time Capsule, which was basically a NAS device, and it was one of these kind of fire and forget things. Plug it in, point Time Machine to it, it detects it, done. If you've ever got an issue, fire up Time Capsule or fire up Time Machine and you can retrieve your files. Unfortunately, they get very hot, and it's an educated guess that the capacitors are frying. and it looks like they're frying around about 18 months. So 18 months seems to be this golden time that your time capsule will die.
Which the backup device is not ideal, is it?
It's not ideal at all.
Particularly when they made a big deal as well about having better hard drives in that weren't just your consumer ones. They were kind of
exactly
better ones that were more reliable that you could count on. So
well, perhaps the actual hard disk in it is still fine. It's just that it's going to stop backing up because it has fried a capacitor or something.
Yeah, but I mean, for most people, you're still going to see a dead device that you have to take back to Apple and probably pay to get fixed, which is crap.
It's slightly lessened if your data's still safe and you notice it in time.
I still see it as crap. If I've bought a device and it's like fine after 18 months, I would want a refund. I would want money back. That's
it. Looks
not a
beautiful
long time.
Though, and it makes a great memorial website.
It's a lovely memorial website. But the other thing that I guess it's most disappointing, Apple haven't acknowledged the issue, which is obviously affecting a lot of people.
Well, I don't know why you're surprised.
Because they do actually acknowledge quite a bit. I know there's this kind of perception.
Eventually
they'll
acknowledge it.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, they can't do anything else, but...
Okay, jailbreaking.
Yes. So, Make It Rain, Black Rain, and that is rain spelt with a one in it. So if you go to blackrain.com, there is now a jailbreak for Mac and Windows for iPhone 3.1.2.
Which is the latest operating
which is
system,
the latest yeah? operating system. So that lets you install Cydia or ROC or Icy. So that's one of these little front ends that allows you then to put on your jailbroken apps. Any of you guys tried jailbreaking?
No.
No.
And I must admit, this morning I wavered. I downloaded the file. I fired
you've got,
it
you've
up.
Got a spare iPhone to do it with, haven't you?
No, I sold it on.
Okay, fair enough.
And the only thing that put me off is that the apps that on it look, some of them actually look quite good. I would get some uses out of it. You know, some of the ones that I'm not too fussed about, you know, see all these guys that are with theming and putting different themes on. So who cares? But one of the ones that I thought was quite interesting was your home screen. So basically, as you switch it on, it'll put on like your calendar, last email, and weather and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was quite interesting. There's also some apps that let you do screen captures, you know, actual video screen captures. So there was some things I thought, I could get some usage out of it. But in general, I just don't have a big need. And then the thing that puts me off is that if you've jailbroken and you start to rely on these apps, you need to wait. I mean, you need to wait a certain amount of time before you can actually start, you know, jailbreak it again.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. If you're going to do it, you've got to sort of be committed to it. It's not consumer friendly, is it? You've got to be wanting to do this. As in, you can't attach your phone to iTunes during periods where they've updated the operating system just in case it completely screws up the whole thing.
And to be honest, I get more use out of iTunes than I would out of any of the apps that I saw. Yeah, you know, I just don't see the big need for me. I know a lot of people seem to be like, oh yeah, can't wait to jailbreak.
And there's also that, I guess Apple try and frighten you off, don't they? But any particular update could eventually mean that your phone is then rendered useless effectively.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know. I know some people are quite happy to see it as fairly risk-free. My phone's essential. You know, I really get so much usage out of it that I wouldn't want to. You know, if it broke right now, I'd be like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Well, yeah, because then you wouldn't be able to use new applications like Layer.
Seamless. Yes.
Getting good.
Well, kind of. I was going to jump to in-app purchases and talk about piracy, but we'll do that in a minute.
Fair enough.
Layer, I mentioned weeks and weeks ago when we started talking about augmented reality. It finally came out this week. It's free and it's for 3GS only.
And this has been out on Android for a while. Is that the same application
now
being ported? Okay.
So if I just fire up the iPhone just now, and the front end, I must admit, the front end of the app is pretty clunky. You kind of start off with a favourites tab, and it just says Layer local search, and you're like, what do you do? But it's featured in popular, and what you do is you download layers. So these are data layers that go on top of your current video view. Yep. So I've got
you're looking at your video, and it's... is augmenting your view of what you're seeing through your camera by dumping a data on top of it. Yep.
So I can fire up the Wikipedia one, and I'm looking around just now, and I can see there's my local railway station, and I can pull up the article. And as I turn round, it shows me different articles. And there's a couple of different views. I can view the video view, or I can view it in a list, or I can view it in a top-down, you know, based on my location. And there's some nice ones. You can see the tweets around about you. You can see an architecture guide, Flickr photos, photos from Panoramio, hotels, movies. I can also get Yelp and Quipe, house prices locally. So it's actually quite nice. It can works well.
Can you add your own layers?
You can't do anything here, but to be honest, I would need to go to the website and find out.
Be good if it was an open source thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, they did talk about there was
sounds sensible.
They did talk about how there was some options for it and how you can add on some 3D as well. But I'm probably not going to be able to get to the site quite enough.
If we find anything to report, we'll report back next week, I guess.
I am talking about, well, you crack on. I'm just looking at developers.
We're in the Apple section. There's nothing for me to crack on with.
So moving on, in-app purchases for free apps. So this was a change this week from Apple, which basically removes the need for any light apps. So in future, a developer can make a free app, and then the free app can then initiate a purchase. So if you want to keep on playing, you know, so if you've played the first level and really like this, purchase the app. Quite a good option. I reckon should add a bit more clarity to the free app list, which is full of light apps. Yeah. So it should give you a far better list of what are the good apps in the free list. But it also should help combat software piracy. So we're talking earlier about jailbreaking, and there's actually a whole load of apps now that are available for jailbroken users. And I think that's the kind of bad side of jailbreaking. A lot of people are using a jailbroken phone purely just to get apps for free, and they're already fairly cheap. The amount of developer blogs that I read, and it's just, you know, I've got my first request through from a bit of pirated software today. And, you know, and it's, you know, some of them, fair enough, are making loads of money. Others aren't making that much. You know, so it is a big issue. So
yeah.
I can see this as a way of hopefully combating software piracy.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to implement it, as far as, do you get to play that one level and then not get to play any more at all unless you buy it, or do you get to play that one level again and again? And I guess that's up to the developer.
Yeah, I would have thought it would be you can keep playing the first level the same way you can do your light app.
I don't think that Apple would let you have an app which stops working effectively after it's been used so many times. They're pretty strict about the things that they allow and the things they don't. And, you know, it's then not a free app. It's a time-limited app, which is something really quite different.
Yeah. But in saying that, I mean, there was things like the Remember the Milk, which is free to download, but after 15 days, you had to be a premium user to keep using it. So there is examples of that, you know, creeping through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, one of the first apps that's taking advantage of this is an app called Boxcar, which I didn't really bother with at the time because it was a paid-for app, and I didn't think I'd get much out of the service. And the way Boxcar works is it's a notifications app. So it hooks up to the Boxcar servers, and you can then sign up for things like Twitter, Facebook, and different mail accounts. So previously it was a paid-for app, and then you paid, I think it was 99 cents for each different service you wanted to sign up for. So if somebody sends me a direct message, I now get a push notification on the iPhone via Boxcar, which is quite nice. I don't want loads of tweets, but if somebody direct messages me, it's just like getting a text. So it's quite a nice service. So the developer swapped over to make the app free, and the first service you sign up for free, but the next services are $1.99 instead. So just trying a different method of generating money. And the app, to be fair, has actually worked really nicely. So the last couple of days, anybody that's mentioned me or did a direct message, I've got a push notification through on the phone. So I think it will change.
Don't I get a text message anyway from O2?
If you sign up for that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother signing up for the O2 stuff.
Ah, okay.
Are you concerned at all with any kind of data privacy issues with some of these services where you don't really know where their stuff's coming from or what they're doing with your stuff that's going through all that, do you?
Yeah, and that's the only bit that I don't like about all that, kind of, you know, by the third-party service doing it. But, hey.
But then they might be better at looking after your stuff than O2 or people anyway. So, you know, maybe it's not really an issue.
I think it is an issue, but it's an issue that, you know, do I worry about Gmail? Do I worry about, you know, what Apple know about me? Do I worry about, you know, what Amazon know about me? You know, and are they well protected? There's certain things, I guess, we trust just because they're big names, and there's other ones who, because we don't know, we have a mistrust, but there's nothing to tell me they're any worse than anybody else.
Shock horror this week, I have put in my own Apple rumour. I know. Not only have I put a story in here, but it's actually a rumour.
I think it's a story.
Which is that it looks like Apple are going to develop an FM radio app for both the iPhone and the iPod. This has been talked about for a long time because it has actually got FM chips on board that both pieces of hardware already, but it's never been they've never been activated. But it sounds like there's something being developed which might mean that they do activate that. It will work in a similar way to sort of iPod app does, so it'll work in the background and play your radio. And there was also talk that they wanted to put some sort of functionality over the top where you can click a button to buy whichever song is playing currently on the application.
Which is what they've got in that new Nano. So the new Nano, if you hear a song on the radio and you like it, you can say, I want to buy that, please.
So it's proven that they've done it already, and they've got the chips on board, so why wouldn't they have done this already, kind of thing?
Yeah. Is that using something like Shazam or something like that, or is it RDS or something that that allows it to... How does it know which song's playing?
I don't know. I'm assuming
you
it would be...
You can, some radios, I mean, not just DAB radios, I think that there is information you can pump out over the, even just normal FM, that tells you what channel you're on, what song's on currently, and things like that. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, is that RDS? Is that what that's called? There's something like that. So it says you're listening to Radio 1 or BBC.
Yeah, I think it's up to the radio station. If they want to update that information as they're playing new songs, they can do. I think that's how it works.
But I guess things like Shazam, so that even if it wasn't getting pumped out, they could still tag on their own service in the background probably.
Shazam works very well for it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and say, buy this. So there's actually, and I know this is... I'm probably breaking the podcast rules, but I've got an Apple story that's not in the show notes.
Well, and it will again, be once we're finished, won't
what?
It?
What? You're just trying to throw me.
Shaquille, if he was here, would probably be giving us another hardware rumour. And it's not about tablet this week. So, again, disappointing all our Shaq fans that there's no tablet rumours. And there are many Shaq fans, if you look at
the comments. We've got to make another one up this week, haven't we, really?
Do you know it's going to be in black?
Coming in black as well. Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
It is amazing. And it's an exclusive. That's a digital outbox exclusive.
Well, I'll not be getting one then. I don't think black's a good colour for the tablet at all.
You racist. The rumour that I picked up on was hardware. And we talked about Blu-ray for IMAX, and it looks like Blu-ray's been dropped. And I guess what's interesting is none of the hardware's come out. And the rumours this week were that they were either saving it for the Windows 7 launch to try and do some sort of on the same day or around the same time, you know, burst a little balloon round all the Windows press. And
we put a Blu-ray drive in?
No, just say here's some new hardware.
Okay.
So there's talk of newly designed, you know, MacBooks and iMacs, which always get a lot of press.
Yep.
So some rumours around that, and also seeing there's new Mac adverts in the pipeline for next week as well. I don't know if they would want to go up against Windows. I think they would let Windows have their week and then do something the week after.
Even Callie Lewis likes Windows 7. She said so.
I can't say anything. We'll be banned from iTunes, I think, if I say anything.
Let's move on then outside Apple. Let's go to gadgets and games. And a new desktop fan.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very interesting or very exciting.
It doesn't sound very interesting,
does it? No, but
it doesn't sound very cool.
It doesn't sound very cool, but it's really cool. It's 15 times cooler than an ordinary fan, apparently.
Exactly 15 times cooler.
Well, it gets 15 times more air through.
Did they have a fat guy and a thin guy standing there to measure who detected the coolness more?
I've no idea. Well, there were some rather dodgy videos on the Telegraph website, I must confess. But this is designed by Sir James Dyson of vacuum cleaner fame. And he's apparently spent 4 years developing this. It does look really, really cool.
It looks fantastic.
It is really, really cool. It's really efficient, but it's really, really expensive. So instead of about less than 20 quid for an ordinary fan that sits on your desk and whirs around and makes a huge amount of noise, this near silent, much more efficient fan is going to be £199 from Argos.
Bargain. Surely it's a bargain.
£199.
Yeah, but if it's 15 times more cool for 10 times the price, surely that's more cost effective.
Yeah.
You can see the way my gadget mind works.
Yeah. They're saying,
I
mean, of course.
I've seen pictures of this. I'm not so sure it's that cool. I'm not so sure. I'm a bit on the fence about it, I guess.
Well, I think it looks a bit like an aerial, doesn't it? It looks like a TV aerial. So you could pretend it's maybe that's something else that you could gold. Add into it.
Maybe that is gold. An indoor aerial that also acts as a fan. A summer aerial.
And moves, so you get fuzzy. Fuzzy at each extreme of its movement.
I've not... Is it noisy?
No, well, it's near silent.
When they flicked it on one of the videos, it certainly was nowhere near silent.
So is that like a... So it's not an Xbox near silent?
They put it on full blast, fair enough, but it's still... made a fair amount of noise. Whether it's a lot quieter when it's on the lower power, I don't know.
But anyway, I guess we all want one, but
yeah, I mean, did we mention that it's bladeless? I don't know if we even
we forgot to mention that, didn't we?
It doesn't have any moving blades. It's
no moving blades.
It looks like a big lollipop.
That's the important thing, isn't it? Well, you see, that's why it's difficult with the podcast, isn't it? Because you don't get the pictures. Mind you, there'll be a picture on the show notes, not the show notes, but you're on the iTunes thing, won't there?
There will be, on the iTunes thing. Very good.
Yeah.
You're really with it with these tech podcasts, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's if the chapters are
iTunes
working.
Thing, Bobby, you can hear me.
That's if the chapters are working this week, eh?
Oh, shut up. Shut your hole. Anyway, I'm going to move on to...
Let's do it.
To Sky on the 360. Some more information that there will be, I think it was 16 channels, and I won't go through reading them all, but interestingly, Sky Movies 1 and 2 and Sky Sports 1, 2 and 3 are also included in that. It will be launched on October 27th, it's SD only, and if you are not a Sky Digital customer, it will be £15 a month. If you are, and I think it is, if you're a Sky Digital customer plus you've got multi-room, then it will be free.
Yeah, this was what they never made it quite clear for me when I was reading through that. So I subscribe to Sky Sports, but I don't have multi-room. So I assume that the only way I can get to watch Sky Sports live, why I'd ever want to do this, we'll come on to that in a minute. But the only way I could do that is if I pay an extra subscription for the multi-room.
I think so. And again, it's not very clear.
Do you get the extra channels that you don't normally get, Chris? So if you don't normally get all the other channel, all those channels there, do you just get the ones that you'd normally subscribe to?
Well, this is it. I don't know the full details. It didn't make it clear, and I don't know if you found it any clearer, Ian, but
it
sounded rather like
all.
you can subscribe as a non-Sky user, you can subscribe and for £15 you can get your basic entertainment pack. For existing Sky users, you should be able to get some of the channels which you already as part of your pack, but premium channels like the movies and the Sky Sports, you're going to need a multi-room extension for. If it all sounds a bit woolly and like I don't know what I'm talking about, it's because I don't.
So this is all part of, I mean, it's all tied around what's called Sky Player. And interestingly, Sky Player is also going to be coming to a Freeview box next year. So there's a IP Vision's Fetch TV service. It will launch the Sky Player bundle as well, so you could actually have what's basically a Freeview box, but we'll also be paying this monthly charge and get these extra Sky channels as well.
There's like top-up TV, but I mean, I have stuff you actually would want to watch.
Pretty much, yeah.
The more places you can access content, it's great. I mean, I'd love to see iPlayer come to the Xbox. But for me, it's a bit pointless having this on, because my Xbox is plugged into my main TV.
Yeah. And I must admit, iPlayer on the PS3 is really nice. I've used that probably more than I have done on the Mac, just because
I'd be more excited if that was coming out for Xbox and SkyPlay, I think.
Yeah.
But the more of it we see, the more we probably, you know, people will latch onto it. So,
well, the only things I've shown up to now is things like you can be watching a football game and you can have like 5-year avatars and you're all in your party chat chatting away.
Which sounds gimmicky fun for a bit, but not if I have to get a multi-room just so I can watch it with your avatar on my screen.
No, yeah, on the same TV as you normally watch it. That's a bit sad, yeah, isn't it? A multi-room to watch the same TV.
I'm going to watch it on a smaller screen with really crappy avatars, listen to some Xbox Live people whining away, and it's an SD, whereas in the same TV I could be watching in HD.
I mean, where we were whining away just playing FIFA last night, so imagine what it would be like with real football. You were whining away.
I thought I was in cracking form.
You were.
It sounds great though. Where can I sign up? Where can I sign up?
So I'm going to hand over to you now, Chris, to get all excited about Forza 3.
Oh, great. I mean, I am getting quite excited. So this is out next Friday. And all the reviews are coming out sort of now-ish, and they're all rating it very highly.
Oh,
so
it's looking,
I can't
gold.
Wait, really.
It's looking like absolute gold.
I mean, I love the whole concept of the sort of car collection anyway, so even the single player for me is going to get a lot of use, but they're also saying that the multiplayer is just hugely robust, so I'm hoping that means and extends to having,
ForzaLeagues.com.
Yeah, let's not go there.
It pains
you,
me.
It was more painful for you, yeah.
Oh, it pains me.
But we've also got the blooming postal strike to contend with next week.
Honestly, Workside Communists, work it out, people.
Work it out. I don't really care how you work it out, but if you get between me and my Forza, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You know it's going to be cheaper in Asda and Tesco anyway, don't you?
Well, Game have sold it to me for £35, which
is all right, to be honest.
Which is pretty damn good. It's £5 cheaper than I was expecting to pay.
But then, as I said, I paid £25 for FIFA rather than £38.
Yes, shut up. You know, that still pains me.
And I mean, I've cancelled my pre-orders.
And to be honest, it's maybe not such a bad idea. Although Game have written to me and said that they're working alternative methods of delivery. So how they're going to do it, I don't know. As long as it gets to me before.
A wee man on a push bike.
Some poor sod, yeah.
So basically,
at this stage, I wouldn't even mind if they sent me an email, said, do you want to go and pick it up in store? And I say yes.
Basically, next week, unless you see a postman, you're going to go postal.
I'm going to go postal.
Yeah,
where's your tumbleweed?
But I control the music, so you're not going to get any tumbleweed. I might go for a bit of that, because that's what that was. But I'm looking forward to Forza. I must admit, it looks really good.
I'm sure you'll be hearing all about that next week.
And you would have been hearing about Uncharted 2, but for two reasons. I cancelled the pre-order, and I'm going to keep that as a Christmas game, because I'm doing a whole lot of online gaming right now. And Shaquille isn't here, but he does have the game, and he is going to play it and give us his thoughts next week.
And that rounds off this episode. We've kind of got there.
Good job, Chris.
Some super slick, mostly a little bit rubbish.
You were great, Chris. You know it.
Awesome.
You're the best. Anyway.
So let's move on to some picks then. And let's start with Ian. Let's have your pick for this week.
My pick is a website which I hadn't heard of until the start of the week, and it's a website called tvcatchup.com. Now, if you go to TV Catchup on your web browser, it lets you see 30 preview channels in a browser window, so you can pick a channel and watch it. The service runs basically about 20 seconds behind the actual preview broadcast. It was a 1-year anniversary this week, and they announced an iPhone service. So if you fire up Safari on your iPhone and go to iphone.tvcatchup.com, you can pick from 11 channels. It's a beta service right now. It takes, depending on your 3G signal, generally here it takes 5 to 10 seconds. When I was down south for the week, it was taking about 20 seconds to buffer. And once buffered, you can watch telly on your iPhone, and it's great.
I still don't understand the name.
So you don't like TV Catch-Up, do you?
Well, just seeing your pick, I decided I'd have a quick look at it on the iPhone. So I did, and I put it on. I clicked on a channel, and it just played what I thought was one program.
It's just broadcasting live telly.
It's what's
which I didn't
telly
understand from the name, because what is so catch-up about it?
It means like you don't have a TV on your phone, but now you do because you've got TV.
Or you can catch up with TV anywhere in Britain. TV watch. You are.
Yeah, there's a similar service for Mac called Zatu, which is a program that you download and lets you watch on your. It saves you having to get a little dongle for a TV tuner to plug in, which is a similar thing. But they've not got an iPhone service, so if this is brilliant for iPhones, but I've used Zatu quite a bit on the Mac.
Well,
what channels does it have, Ian?
It has 1 to 5. It had ITV2, BBC3, E4, Film4, and 4Music.
Okay,
for
UK users, they're pretty the big ones, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and the website version has all the kind of Freeview channels. I think it had all 30 Freeview channels.
And they're allowed to do this?
I've no idea how they're allowed to do this.
It sounds like they might not be allowed to do this.
I have no idea. All I know is I was sitting in my tail the other day and it was working a treat. And it's far better than the crappy, pixely, shitey TV that Holiday Inn put in their rooms. Get a grip, Holiday Inn. And what's the point of leaving a little PS2 pad dangling there for me to play games and then charge me for it? And it's to play some shitey old game that I don't want to play either. Yes, I'm ranting. Yes,
whoa,
it's you, Holiday
there,
Inn.
Nelly.
Get a grip.
Whoa.
Honestly.
It
says everything.
Glad we all tuned in for this.
No, hold on. It says everything that I got a better picture on my little iPhone than I did on that bloody heap of shit that they put in my room.
Sort it out, Holiday Inn.
Honestly, get a grip.
Well, Henry, I think you better rescue us. Give us your pick, please.
My pick is a little app called Caffeine for the Mac, and it just sits there up in your menu bar, and it just stops your Mac going to sleep. So you can switch it on or switch it off, but it stops your screensaver coming in, stops your just the whole thing kind of shutting down, which is really annoying if you're trying to watch a video or something and you've got your settings so that for power management and stuff to dim the screen after so many minutes or so. And that's really all it is. It just kind of sits there, it's free and doesn't really take up any time or do anything.
I love utilities like that. I think they're great. I just, certainly PC-based, I just worry about how many things I have running in my taskbar. I don't know if it works in a similar way. Does it hog any resource? I guess it doesn't really.
No. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Anyway. So I'll get a kick before we lose Ian entirely. I'll move on to my pick, which is an application called Space Sniffer. And it's a great little thing, which... It runs a scan of your hard disk and it visually represents via the medium of boxes how much room each file on your hard disk is taking up. And it kind of, as it scans through, it finds files and folders and it represents the size of the files or the folders by different sizes of squares. And it kind of morphs itself as it's scanning through. It's quite hypnotic to watch as it finds, you know, scans further and further into disk. It's almost like it's showing you more and more of what's going on. And as much as anything, it is just fun to watch, but it does show you where you're losing all your gigabytes and maybe there's some files in there that you'd forgotten about that you can get rid of. It's a great little tool and maybe it's going to be useful for people if they're doing clean installs of Windows in this coming week to find out and make sure they cover all their big backup processes, making sure they're covering everything.
Very good.
Very handy. Yeah. And I'll just point out as well that it's a very similar one on the Mac called Disk Inventory X, which scans and then graphically shows you in little squares just where all your data is.
I think this was put forward as I think it was even a paper of some sort by a clever mathematician or something, and people have just made applications to sort of put that into practice. So right. I'm not surprised there's one for the Mac as well. But
yeah, I mean, the Disk Inventory X is really good at finding things like, you know, because it's showing you like a big file graphically, it's like, oh, what's that 5 gig file? Oh, I didn't even know that was there. Delete.
And even folders, you can click into those folders and then see, it sort of zooms it forward so you can then see what's inside those folders making things so large.
So I'm just looking at the website. It's free, isn't it?
Yes, it's a free download.
As
I think they want to, you know, they'd quite like donations and things like that. So yep. If you like it, donate.
And the Disk Inventory X one I mentioned is also free as well, released under GPL.
I'll put a screencast of just the kind of stuff it does to see how hypnotic it is.
Well, there's another one that I need to mention. I know I've totally taken over your pick, and I do apologise. but this one's called Daisy Disk for the Mac as well, and it's just lovely when it runs.
Maybe you should put a screencast of that as well.
I might do. It is lovely, but it costs $20. So some people might think that's a lot of money for just what it does, but it's very handy, and as I said, it looks great.
Okay, well, we've just moved over the hour marker, so I think we've done pretty well to get it all in.
Hey, well done, host.
Good job, Chris. Good job.
But those who keep moaning about our hour and a quarter, hour and a half, which is a long time, we're just about there.
So I'm just going to make a little apology that if you do like our chapters, and I really like the chapters on our podcast as well, but last week I had a snow leopard bug and I had an ampersand in one of the chapter titles, which means the chapters didn't get exported. So thanks to Tam for pointing out that it wasn't working. I uploaded it the next day and it is working now, and I shall watch out for that one in the future and get it sorted, Apple.
All right then, we shall... Well, no, before I do that, mucked up. so you can find more information about Digital Outbox on our website at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're also on Twitter, Digital Outbox. And Ian, where can we find more information about yourself?
Blog, iand.net, and Twitter, I am there as Shweepa.
And Henry?
Talk Rhubarb on Twitter, and talkrhubarb.com/WordPress is my blog.
And I am CheesyUK on Twitter, and my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk. And thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Bye.
Wait, I can't wait to tell Shaku that we've found a permanent host.
Oh dear, I had such dreams of my segues being beautiful and my
what went wrong
being seamless.
Hey, easy tiger. So,
I think listening back, you might find that there's a difference in your perception.
Not at all. You are slick as. Indeed, I was very impressed. Can I stop recording now that I've bigged you up?
Yep. I'll pay you later.